Mate, I love cheese. I love cheese.
Hey guys, welcome back to Big Mood.
Hola.
Today, who do we have here? I feel like we've been forgetting to introduce ourselves. Oh, yeah. So let's do that again. Who do we have starting on this side?
I'm Nikki.
I'm Gina.
And then?
I'm Tiff.
All right. Tiff, what did you bring for us today?
Oh my gosh, I surprised everyone with this beautiful, amazing charcuterie board.
Charcuterie board.
It was so beautiful, and we just like dove into it before shouting so anyone
out. It's completely wrecked right now, but it looked beautiful before.
It was gorgeous. So shout outs to My Cheesy Passion. Thank you, Doreen.
We'll show a beautiful picture of what it looked like
before we wrecked it.
Well, maybe like my stories, because that's the one time that we got something, and it was like on my stories. Oh, okay. So you're seeing...
This thing did not survive more than 2 seconds in the studio.
You can't bring a charcuterie board to a panel of girls,
right?
A panel of women.
Yeah, so if you guys are interested, check out My Cheesy Passion. Doreen makes amazing charcuterie boards. Whoa, I had trouble with that one.
Charcuterie but in the LA area.
LA area.
Thanks, babe.
Thank you.
Oh, these are so good. Yeah. It's like, so I have this thing where like, I have to try different foods. So when I go to a restaurant, I never know what I want because I want to try everything.
Yeah, me too.
But this is literally just trying like 1,600 different things
all
at once.
Yes. Oh my God, like the buffets.
I do.
Mm-hmm. I have to talk about this. My most favorite thing on this entire board is this weird thing in the middle.
I think it's goat cheese with rolled in blueberry and honey.
That's what it is.
You can get it at Trader Joe's.
That's what it is.
So good. I used to be addicted to it.
It's delicious.
I need it.
Anyways, today's episode... I wanted to get into like a dating topic because, you know, that's the only thing that is relevant to me. I'm not married like these other bitches. Well, neither is Gina, but Gina doesn't really care about men or anything right now. But for me, I've been spending a lot of time reading stuff online and like actually taking the time to think about what I want in a relationship, where I've kind of gone wrong over the years, what I can do looking forward. I'm not actively dating anyone right now. I've deleted all of my dating apps. I'm taking a hardcore break during COVID. I feel like this is the best time to take that kind of break.
Yeah.
But there was an idea kind of introduced to me in all the stuff that I was reading. And it's this idea of like a high value partner versus a low value partner. And I have to say, I've never really thought about that dating like consciously. Like, is this a high value person or is this a low value person? Like, that seems kind of a little bit, you know, shitty.
No, because I know where you're getting at, but the real definition of high value partner, it really is like for you.
Yeah.
Like, high value for like for me. Like exactly. I value this or like whatever this person's life is, like it complements my life completely well. Yeah. And that's the high value part. Cause then it's easily misconstrued to be like, oh, you're materialistic. Like they have to be really
superficial.
Rich. Superficial, but no, it's high value to the person.
Yeah. So I wanted to get away from thinking, oh, high value just means that, you know, he has a lot of money and blah, blah, blah. And he has 6-pack abs and stuff like that. That's kind of like not the direction that I'm trying to take
unless
this.
Unless that's what you're looking
for. I mean, unless that is what you value. Yeah. And I do value that, ladies and gentlemen. But that's not going to necessarily get me the right partner.
It's like you could be a rhombus and be a square, but you can't be a square and a rhombus, you know.
What's a rhombus?
The fuck is a rhombus?
I understood
is that
your reference.
Square
you.
That's like crooked?
Yeah. It's, yeah, well, like, yeah.
Like a rectangle that's crooked?
I forget which one it is, it's basically.
God, well, damn, this is are you smarter than a fifth grader?
You know what? Listen, it's basically there's a category and a square fits in it, but then like
it doesn't go the other way.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't necessarily
this
go the
other
way.
This is too much fucking math.
Listen,
get out of here.
I like math. I like math.
I like cheese. I like
I like cheese.
I like money and thick pack.
What's me? I don't know.
Just like I like little things like this.
Yes,
little
yes.
Tiny,
oh, that is really cute.
That's little so cute. Tiny strawberry.
That's
preserves.
Me. That's me.
You know, I never thought about. I guess this is weird now because I used to think that only certain girls went after like people that have money or like looks, but and then like the majority were like more like me where like they go after personality. But now, like, as after being in the world for a while, I'm like, oh no, like a lot of people go after like looks and money.
Yeah.
I've never thought about it,
especially like in big cities like in LA where like Tinder, like all these dating apps are like a huge thing. It's like we have like 10 million people in the greater Los Angeles area, and a lot of them are single and a lot of them are all in these apps, and they're constantly swiping for the next upgrade, and it's all just what's your job and what do you look like. And so I think people aren't really taking the time to consider like anything at all. Yeah. It's just who's the hottest and then like who has the most money or whatever. So I feel like having a discussion on like, that's probably not the best way to date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
because I mean, career could be very important. I mean, obviously it's a very important factor in someone's life, because let's say I want someone that can travel with me all over the place, all over the world, but then they're this like really busy finance person, mm-hmm. that is constantly in meetings or whatever, then that wouldn't be high value to me.
Right. Yeah. Even though they make six figures or something, yeah. it's not adding value to your life because you're stuck at home. Like, right. they can never vacation or whatever.
They couldn't share your lifestyle or what, yeah. like, invigorates you.
That's true.
Yeah, that's why I think that you should always pick someone that you can be best friends with. I think people overlook that a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, and I don't know why, because, like, if you picture how you're going to be spending your life with somebody, like, wouldn't you want to be best friends and, like, have them be cool to hang out with? I can't imagine hanging out with someone that long that just doesn't
fit.
Well,
that's when it really does matter, though. Like, what is high value to you? Because then let's say I'm the type of person that I will be the happiest if I just get left alone and I have a mansion and
that sounds so good.
This, like,
I'm down.
Just be left alone in a mansion at this point. I'm like, that sounds amazing.
And then, like, my husband is just, like, an asshole, but it's okay. I don't have to deal with him because he's not around that much and I don't value his presence or whatever the fuck. I don't know. Wow. Like, other people could have those type of values.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I guess it's to me, I mean, like, I'm not going to be a gatekeeper of what defines a relationship, but it seems unhealthy.
I'm down for the best friend thing, too. Like, my best relationship ever is when he and I are best friends.
Yes.
We just sit around, just do dumb shit together and have the greatest time.
Or even if you're not best friends, because that's how I operate, too, but at least someone that you guys have the same values in life, like, mm-hmm. the same visions of how you want your future to be like.
True.
So I guess if you were with that really rich guy, maybe that guy has to like having a wife that doesn't really want his presence around.
Yeah, there's one of my favorite like sugar baby relationships is on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And it's this lady, her name's Erica Girardi, but she goes by Erica Jane. And she's like a total sugar baby. Like, her husband's like 80 or 90 or something. He's the fucking dude is old as shit, but he's rich as shit. And I'm like, that's kind of cool. But also, she does have to sleep with him, so I don't know about that. But that's basically that lifestyle that you're talking about. Like,
she values money.
Husband. Yeah.
Or security.
Like, she values having security. A shit ton of money to do whatever she wants. And he's just like this old bastard he seems like a sweet guy, but he's just old as shit.
I've dated someone before who, like, on paper, you would think that it checks all the boxes and it's cool. But then I realized this is not my paper. Like, these are not my name is
someone else's paper. Whose paper is this?
I turned it in with the wrong name. Like, made good money, stable, and all that shit. But then I realized, I was like, I don't see you as like my friend. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you're kind of boring.
The power dynamic is really weird too, especially I think for girls like us too, because we don't really like roll over and take shit.
Yeah, exactly.
So like having someone having all the money and then telling you what to do. Like, I think when you're young, you're like 21, you're like, oh, I'll be a sugar baby. Yeah. That sounds easy. But then if you actually try anything like that, or if you get into a relationship that's like they're so dominant with money, mm-hmm. It's really not like good in the long term.
Yeah, I think that's why I never went that route, because I hated that when I lived with my parents, my dad got to make all the rules because he paid the bills or whatever. So from as young as I can remember, I've always tried to make my own money because I didn't like having to ask for money or be controlled by somebody, or if I ask for money now, it's like I owe them a favor or something like that.
Or even just commenting on it, because like in my relationship with Joe, we would just be talking and he would be telling me what investments he was doing or whatever, and I would be like, well, I don't know if that's a good idea or whatever, and then it would just create an issue because he'd be like, well, it's not your place to comment. You know, and so I'm like, all right, well, damn, fuck that.
It's like you can't even have a conversation.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, whatever, your money, do whatever the fuck you want with it, I don't care. But yeah, also on another note though, in that vein, like, I do see myself moving towards, like, I'm getting my CPA license, and like the idea of like dating someone that's also in finance or just an accountant or something like that. I mean, that does feel like it could work for me too. But I'm not sure yet because I haven't met anyone.
Yeah, you
like
guys
that
could
yet.
Do spreadsheets together all week. It sounds like, really fucking fun at your house.
We could so sexy. Oh my god, you guys can do addition multiplications in bed together. What the fuck?
Addition and multiplications.
Yeah.
All the, we could talk about the new
all the PEMDAS,
all the new PEMDAS,
yeah,
all the new
stuff. PEMDAS and stuff. And it's so hot. I love it so much. I love Excel.
No joke. I have a friend couple, and they've been together for a long time, and they are so compatible, and they fucking come all over spreadsheets. They love spreadsheets.
They
and
come all over.
Oh yeah, like it gets them wet. It gets them horny.
When you go over to their house and you guys have like spreadsheet or a presentation.
Oh yeah,
parties,
they'll do
is that
a.
Them?
Oh no, no, no. That's that's our like more comedian couple. They're really fun. It's like a
what in the pyramid scheme selling knives shit is this? Holy
what?
Shit!
No. So what's it called? PowerPoint. So every Valentine's Day, our friends, our other friends,
oh,
are separate. Not the.
I
not
have,
the
sorry, I got him confused.
I have seen that story.
There's the PowerPoint friends. They do themed parties, and everyone puts together a PowerPoint presentation on whatever subject you want. And so it ends up being really funny because everyone there is a comedian. Mm. And so it's like, like they get really serious about the dumbest shit.
So cute.
And it's really funny.
That sounds fun, actually.
Yeah. Yes. So I think my last one was about how the Illuminati created Animal Crossing to keep everyone in a pandemic. It was like a whole conspiracy
you
with proof
made a,
and evidence.
You made it. PowerPoint presentation?
Oh, yeah.
Why haven't you sent
Why
that to me?
I want
to
see it.
Oh, you had to be part of the party.
Aw.
Sorry. I need to get really drunk to listen.
I'm totally down for this.
Can we do that next get together?
Well, yeah. I know you're going to have some sort of a picnic or a barbecue or something.
Oh, yeah. Some sort of barbecue.
Some sort of barbecue
something.
Or picnic.
You know?
Here's why redheads are better. Yeah, than everyone.
Anyone that has a redhead gene.
Yo, we're actually having a big mood thing. Maybe we could do PowerPoint presentations.
Oh, in Gina fashion, I will be late and I will not be turning in anything in time.
Yep.
So
someone else is gonna
someone else is gonna do it for me.
To be honest,
if you want to do her homework for her,
that wasn't me. I was on Gina's program too.
We didn't find out about the party till last minute, so both Steve and I did it in like 30 minutes before the party started. But I will have to say, I work really well under pressure.
Cute.
And I did a pretty good PowerPoint presentation. But no, the other couple, they're a spreadsheet couple, and they are just, they fit really well. Like, they love making spreadsheets
and that's something
budgeting.
I've never found. I've never, like, looking back, I'm like, I've never really fully just, like, fit with the person that I was dating. I feel like there was always a reason why I wanted to date them, but I never connected it to like, oh, this works for me and my personality. And it's weird to now look back and be like, wait, every single person I dated, like, it was never a good fit.
Yeah,
it's
like
weird.
It almost,
I've never dated
you'd
like my
try
best
to
friend.
Force it.
Yeah,
it's like when you're doing a puzzle and there's a piece that looks like it would fit and like in the, but it doesn't quite fit, but you want it to fit so bad, so you just keep fucking.
I just wet it a little bit. You just gotta wet it a little bit so it's more malleable.
Put some adhesives and glue so they're never getting away.
Yeah.
Wedding equals the time. Like the longer you are with someone, eventually you're forcing it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Put work into it.
We do not want to jam things together, circles and squares.
Yeah. So I guess what would be the first step to determining what's a high value partner to you?
So, well, obviously, it's like actually knowing who you are.
Yeah.
Because I think that was a big problem, too. I never really sat back to think, like, who am I without the influence of the people around me? What things do I actually really like? I know you can relate to that because you've kind of been steadily in a relationship for a long
time. That's why I freaking loved Shan's book, Shan Boodram.
Shan Boodram.
Her book, Game of Desire. It literally talks about all of that. And she actually gives you like worksheets so you can get to know yourself and your own preferences and what is high value to you. And she talks about that. Like
that's
finding
great.
Someone that actually fits in there like a puzzle piece to your life rather than the way I think, for sure me, the way I would view partners was like, oh, do they like me? Am I okay for you? Like,
right.
are we
gonna, or like they
like,
have
can I cater to you?
Yeah. I think for me, like I kind of would go for the bad boys a lot. Or like if there was just sexual chemistry, not even considering anything outside of that.
It's so hard because when you get good sex,
to do that.
Oh my God, good sex can trap you. I was watching Love Island. She called it dick sand. And I'm like,
oh, I quit it.
Oh my God.
I have been trapped in dick sand for 30. Okay, no, I didn't start dating until I was like 18. So for whatever, 33 minus 18 years, I've literally
15
been.
15 fucking math whiz over there.
I can't do math
you
in
love
my
math.
Head.
I like math. I like math. Like,
and geez. I'm the fucking one getting my CPA license. Weird. Anyways,
I will not trust you with my accounts.
No, it's because we've used a calculator so much that I forgot to use my brain. But anyways,
my dad's a CPA, so I just ran the other way.
I've literally been in dick sand my whole life. So I'm actually really proud of myself that I'm going to get out of dick sand.
You're brushing off the granules.
I'm brushing off the, yes.
And you're getting to your actual skin and you're getting to know yourself.
Yes, getting to know myself. And then one thing is like, so there's probably like a list of qualities that are also very basic in general that I've overlooked. Like, is he generally respectful to you, to your time, to your desires and needs? Because I've been in a lot of relationships where the guys... they will kind of complain when I ask them to do something. They will like not be respectful of my friends, or like they'll make little comments where like, because I'm always the girl that has like the dark humor, the quips or whatever, like they'll do things that are almost cutting, but then they'll be like, what? I thought you were the funny girl, you know? So there's like some weird things with respect sometimes with men that I never really considered before. And I get trapped in the dick sand and I'm like,
yeah. Oh. And you don't want to be uncool. Yeah. Like, you don't want to show like you're not cool with this type of humor.
So I would think definitely like in looking for a higher value partner, it's like, is he actually respectful? Like the baseline shit like that I think a lot of girls are forgetting to do, you know?
True.
Because that dick sand's so powerful.
It is, yeah.
I know, I feel spoiled because, so I was in those type of relationships for a while too, and then Steve completely 180'd all of that, and I am so in love with him, and he's the only person that's ever like fit the puzzle completely that made me go like, oh shit, why was I forcing that other piece so long? Like, I really thought I couldn't find anything that fit, you know, close enough. So I was like willing to settle on close enough. But yeah, he fit perfectly. And the way that he treats me when I see people not getting treated that way or not getting that level of respect, I'm actually blown away now where I'm like, oh, how dare he not do this for me or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh shit, am I spoiled? Because he's like so sweet and thoughtful. Like, I'll be upstairs editing and he'll come in and I'm like, I'm busy. And he's like, I'm just trying to check in if your water bottle is full enough.
Aww,
and refill my water bottle, then I melt, and then we kiss and stuff.
Oh, he's such a little bitch. I love
know.
It. Aww, Steve's such a little bitch. I love it.
Melts my heart.
I'm trying to think if I've ever dated anyone that would do anything remotely close to that. And I'm maybe one guy might have a little bit, but gosh, no. It just seems so rare. I'm like, are 90% of men fucking assholes?
Well, I had someone like that, like by far, like probably the best guy I ever dated. But it all comes down to also where you guys are going in your life and what your goals and values are. And that's where we differed. Everything else was fucking incredible. But then like talking about the future, he just wasn't there. So that didn't work out
either. Yeah, that's true. Because it does the actions, if it was by a guy that I wasn't that into, it doesn't matter what their actions are because I'm just not into them. And by the way, I just want to backtrack a little bit because I don't ask Steve to do any of this. He just does it. And it's super sweet. And he did this before we were dating too, when I was just a friend. Mm-hmm. He would do that to anyone. Any girl here, he would make sure your drinks are refilled. He's very, very thoughtful. But I think that if I wasn't attracted or something was missing, because I had another boyfriend in the past who was very thoughtful like that too, but I just wasn't attracted to him. I couldn't put my finger on it, but he would just annoy me. Same. I'd be like, I can get my own water.
Maybe is he more of like a clinger? Like,
yes.
Like,
yes.
To where you already kind of don't respect him as a man, like as an individual unit. And so he's just like doing extra shit and you're like, oh, stop.
And he would also, I felt like he was doing things to get reciprocated instead of just because he wanted to.
I think that's a huge red flag.
I hate that.
Yeah. The nice guys, right?
Yes. And then like, oh, they finish last, right? Well, you're not really nice if you are doing the nice thing just to get a nice thing back, and then you hold it against them when you don't get exactly what you want back.
I'm wondering if that's like where a part of that like MGTOW thing is coming from, is guys who were trying to be nice and then they fucking got burned.
Yeah. That's because their intentions were shady to begin with, so that's why it didn't pan out for them.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. It's like, hey, I saw your bra.
Your third love bra.
There's a gap in between there.
There's a gap.
Do you have a gap in between your third love bra?
Like that?
Yeah.
I am wearing my third love bra.
not all bras.
Like, what? No, I knew what was happening, but I'm like, it's not me, guys.
It's me, guys.
I am actually wearing my third love bra. Tiff is the one wearing the third love bra,
so we're looking at Tiff.
All right, well, listen.
I'm wearing a strapless.
Listen up, ladies and gents.
I was nice to you. Show me your bra.
Anyone with boobies out there, this bra is the best bra I have ever had. Before, I would would go to places and buy a generic fitting bra, thinking all bras are like that. Well, guess what? Not all bras, man. Not all bras, bra. You could get a bra that actually fits your boobies. And how you do this through Third Love is you go online, you take a little quiz about your current bra situation, current trouble areas you've been having. For me, it was always this like gap in between mm-hmm. my boob and the cup. And
that
I
was
just
my problem too.
Yeah, I thought that's probably just how bras are.
Also, when you wash the bras and then that gap right there, it starts to like curl out.
Oh yeah.
So I'm like, what the heck? And anytime I would wash anything, I'd be like, really? Am I just I don't know how to do laundry?
I started blaming myself for these toxic ass bras. Yeah. And then I found Third Love and they solved all of my problems. I no longer have that gap. I no longer have straps falling off. Yeah. So many people are wearing bras that don't actually fit them and they don't even know it. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't know it. So I went on Third Love. I took their quiz. They have so many different sizes too. They have over 80 bra sizes, but know that the only one that matters is yours. There's a perfect fit promise too, so every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, put it to the test, and if you don't love it, you can return it, and Third Love will wash and donate it to a woman in need, which is awesome.
So nice.
It's the most comfortable bra you ever own, so Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. Right now they're offering our listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/bigmood now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/bigmood for 15% off today.
15. Use it. And I got the strapless and it works really good. This is my most favorite strapless bra I've ever owned in my entire life, because every time I've owned a strapless bra, it always slips down.
Yeah.
Always. Not this one.
Hell yeah.
Dang, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know what else is awesome? Life.
Life is awesome.
Life is awesome. Gina. Gina's mouth is just hanging wide open.
She likes cheese.
I like blueberries.
Anyways, so have you guys noticed things are getting a little bit better in the world? Like, we're kind of able to get back out slowly. We're able to go to restaurants a little bit, you know, keeping the whole thing in consideration. But like, slowly we get to see our friends and family again pretty soon. Hopefully by next year, we'll actually get to see our friends and family.
In person.
In person. Reals. And if you start right now, by then, you could have perfectly straight teeth.
With who?
With Candid. Candid, clear aligners, they're comfortable, removable, and totally invisible, unlike those horrible wire braces. Sorry if you have wire braces, they are horrible.
They know how horrible they are.
So with Candid, you could transform your smile without anyone noticing. Plus, your treatment is prescribed and monitored remotely by a licensed orthodontist who's an expert in tooth movement. With Candid, your treatment includes remote monitoring by the same orthodontist who created your plan, so you'll never have to wonder how you're doing. You'll always know. The average Candid treatment is just 6 months, and you'll start seeing results way before then. Start straightening your teeth today. Right now, all of our listeners can save $75 on Candid Starter Kit. Go to candidco.com/mood and use code MOOD. That's candidco.com/mood. Code MOOD. Take advantage of this limited time offer and save $75 on your starter kit. CandidCO.com/mood with the code MOOD.
Man, that's a lot of doll hair. $75? That's a lot.
Yes, it is a lot.
I like math.
I like cheese.
I like math.
So I was reading the article that Jess sent us about high value people, high value partners. And there's some in there that's like, it's so obvious and it makes so much sense, but I like Nikki said, some people just forget that people should be like that to you. You deserve someone good. Like a low value partner is someone that would pick you up after you drank with your friends all night and drive you home, but the whole time they're complaining. Mm-hmm. You know,
and instead of like wanting to know mm-hmm. that you got home safely, like, oh, I'm happy to make sure you got home safely.
Exactly.
Like, come on, bro.
But a high value be like, oh, do you need a ride? Yeah, absolutely. I'll drive you home. I'll drive your friends home too if you need to. And I love people like that. But some, like, a lot of times people just overlook these things. Like, oh, yeah, but he did pick me up. Yeah, but he was bitching the whole entire time.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it's about adding value to your life rather than taking it away. Mm-hmm. So if someone's draining you and you're just, that's obviously not.
Like, well, they make up for it with this aspect. It's like, well, they shouldn't be having to make up for anything. And I think that does come down to like knowing yourself, because I remember when I was single and living alone, and there wasn't many times in my life that I was single, but I was single for an 8-month period of time. And during that time, I thought I was going to be single a lot longer because I was so happy, like, with what I had and what I had built, and I was working on my career.
That's where I'm getting right now. I'm kind of like that right now.
Yeah.
Just now, finally. So,
well, good.
Just now. Yeah.
Better late than ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was, it's like, well, I don't want this to go away. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd rather be single forever than have someone that I have to compromise with and this be kind of, this yeah. feeling be drained.
Yeah.
So whoever I date next, I'm not settling. They have to add value to this. They have to just be something, be an extra part of my life, not something that's that I have to give up in order to have.
It's hard to know like when that's happening, because I know like the whole honeymoon phase of meeting someone new, they usually also they're putting their best face on.
Totally.
You're putting your best face on, and also you're drunk off all of those chemicals that are coursing through your body when you meet someone that you like. So
go on a weekend trip as soon as possible.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like go on a trip together somewhere far away, like far out of your, you know, city.
So they can murder you in another country.
Well, as hopefully soon you as would possible. Know them better than that.
How soon as possible?
I'd say a few months in. Like I'd say I would date someone for 3 months if I had a really good feeling about them, like I really wanted to move things forward. Go on a trip with them. Then you can see if you're even compatible to cohabitate together.
Yeah.
Because a lot of, if you don't want to, you know, move in and take that jump first, a lot of times going on a trip for 4 days or so, people's good, bad things that they were trying to cover, they start to come out a little bit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Their bad habits, their annoying qualities, and you can see if that's something that you can live with or
they
not.
They say that if you can travel together, then you can be together. If you can't, it's a huge red flag, well, because you're going through things like cohabitating and then crappy things that happen at airports, would they lose their minds?
Yes.
You know? So it's
you're dude, put into
Steve
like
is so
cooker.
Annoying to travel with.
Why?
But yes. Internationally.
Oh.
But
well, you guys make it work.
Well, now we do, because that we hit that point in well, we had gone on many trips beforehand, so it was fine. But this was our first time traveling out of the country together. Mm. And Steve didn't know how to sleep on the plane and not get jet lag. So he, once we landed, he was so jet lagged the entire trip, he would just be complaining about everything.
Aww.
And I'm like, we're trying to enjoy Europe. And he,
me and Steve are the same.
He's like, let's go. I want to go back to the hotel. And he was just such a dick. I'm like, I want to explore the city. But it was because he was tired and jet lagged. He wasn't like that at home, like ever. And so, and we had already lived together at that point, and I knew we were compatible. So it threw me for a loop. But I would say, you know, from the trips that we took, we're on our own time. We're not like jet lagged or anything. He was good. It would be a good testing area. We did stay at a few hotels here.
Dude, big red flags. When me and Joe first got together, I think like immediately we went to Hawaii for Barton Gio's wedding.
Yeah.
And we were just fighting the whole time. Like, I wasn't good with travel or in airplanes. I get really mad anxiety. I would never take anything for the anxiety though. So I would just be on the plane, like kind of semi having panic attacks and like super uncomfortable. I would be like, I need water. And then the stewardess couldn't come up and I would just be like, I need water, I need water, I need water. Like, I would kind of just like fucking complain like constantly, and it would drive him absolutely fucking bonkers. And so we'd be fighting the whole trip, and the whole thing would just be totally pointless.
Aww.
Like, it'd ruin the whole thing. I mean, I know how to travel better now.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a huge
It's communication,
thing.
I think, too, because like, I think Steve is very similar to you, where when he's in a different place, a place that's unfamiliar to him, he does get more scared, and he's really bad with directions. Mm. He gets lost very easily. And so if we're in another country, everything's in a different language, he's very stressed out. And
that's
the
same situation with Casey.
Yeah.
Exactly the same. Because without fail, before every trip, almost every trip, not so much in recent years, but the beginning, holy crap. Every single trip we would fight before the trip, during the traveling of getting there, and then once we're there, we're like trying to settle it in and then like trying to enjoy the place, and we finally get there to a pleasant place. But the movement, like before going on a trip, he's stressed out about all the things he needs to do.
Yeah.
He's a workaholic too, so he's like just, he gets anxious about knowing that he's gonna have to turn off the work mind, and for him, he's not comfortable with that. So then every single time, it'd be a gigantic old fight.
But like Nikki said, it is a communication thing, because, you know, I've been in situations where like they would get annoyed and just like, you know, why don't you know how to do this? And then I would have to, instead of me getting angry, I'll be like, listen, you need to not be mean to me right now because I'm learning. This is completely new to me. You were new to something too. I'm uncomfortable in this situation right now, so I need you to understand this is why I feel this way. So it's a big communication thing.
That
like,
is great communication. Yeah. I'm actually the mean one. I'm actually the mean one because he's
You're
so...
You're like Joe.
Yeah, like he's so like anxious or whatever he's doing, and I didn't realize that that's what was happening with him. Mm-hmm. So then I would... And then also me, I guess I'm old-fashioned or whatever, but... You know, he's the man of the relationship. Right. Like, he should know where we're going and whatever, like, should know all these things. And so I would use that against him a lot. And obviously, I wasn't helpful. And that's the reason why I would get into a big old fight because then I had my own ego about it. I wasn't empathetic about the fact that he was stressed out or whatever, new environment. He's thinking about work, all these things. Mm-hmm. That's why now I think we've gotten a lot better when it comes to travel because now I understand, like, oh, he's just tapping into that part again. I can't take it so personal. I had to be more patient.
Yeah. That's why I think. Sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
Hi. I love you so much.
I love you too.
Oh my gosh, shut up.
So pretty.
How
cute.
But that's the thing with like Jess and Joe, like I think communication would be a problem too because it depends, and it's also how Joe takes that information, because you could have been like, listen, I don't want to be this way, but this is why I feel this way on planes. I don't want to be complaining this whole entire time. I'm just really uncomfortable, so please be patient with me. And if Joe understood, then he'll be like, okay, I get that, and it's not an ego thing.
Yeah.
She's not just bitching at me. Yeah. Like this is her own thing in her head. Then that's good communication.
Yeah. No, he just doesn't like to be around bad energy at all. Like,
and that's not fair to anyone.
Whether you mean it or not. Yeah. He's just like, oh, bad energy, get the fuck out.
Yeah, and I don't feel like that's very fair because, I mean, I felt like that before too, but then I realized people could be going through something, you know? Like, you can't control this. I remember I was going through a thing, like I had like a, kind of like a... full-on like anxiety attack, and my partner was just like, well, you know, like, why are you acting like this? And then I had to, in the middle of my anxiety attack, had to explain, bro, this is from childhood, I can't control this, you need to understand this, and I need help from you. And then that's when they're like, okay, you have to learn how
good
to put
job,
your guard
Gina.
Down.
That was great communication.
It's hard, and I've only discovered, like, I've only learned how to do all this within the last like year and a half. You know,
same with like, or a little longer, but with us, like, we're trying to figure out how to communicate, and it's all through therapy. They actually teach you how to analyze yourself and what you're going through and what led you to the point that you're at now, and then to clearly communicate that. It's a struggle, man.
I guess communication then is another one, like,
huge.
Respect one, communication number two, like willingness actually to communicate though, because I've dated a lot of guys where like they'll listen to like my problem or whatever my qualm is with them or the situation, but then they're not willing to really talk through it or take any blame for their part or anything like that. It's just kind of like, ugh, you know, like women, wah.
You have to be receptive. You can hear them, but you're not necessarily listening.
True.
You know, like, it's just another woman nagging at you, but you have to kind of take it into consideration too. And that, I mean, both sides has to do that.
Yep. So I wonder if you can go from being a low value partner to a high value, because a lot of this is maturity.
With growth, I think.
Yeah.
Or if learning you're not to like a self-centered asshole.
Right.
You can grow out of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Because a lot of this, like the way Gina was able to articulate her emotions, you know, a lot of us weren't raised being able to do that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, you know, fairly this new generation, it's kind of a newer thing to be able to learn how to add that emotional IQ, the EQ, and learn how to articulate all that. And I know a lot of, statistically, men are, it's harder for them to understand their emotions too, because they're taught from a young age to like kind of hide that shit. So yeah, it's been interesting with Steve. Sometimes he'll be mad or scared and he won't know why. And we have to delve into it together, whereas before he would just kind of shut it off, like he would just be a wall. And and slowly he's opened up, and I think encouraging that opening up helps them to like understand their own emotions, so that in the future when they feel that way, they don't just have an outburst. They learn how to articulate.
That's so true.
And
dude, just last night, Casey and I had a thing where he was being really like snappy with his movements, very like, clearly there was something going on with him, and I'm like, hey, are you okay?
Like passive aggressive and stuff.
Very, very, very passive aggressive, like slamming doors or all these things. And I'm like, hey, like, what's going on? Like, is there anything you want to talk about? Like, you're very clearly upset about something. Or what are
you're
you
like,
upset
I'm
about?
A woman, I can understand bitch behavior. What's happening?
Yeah. And then so he was just like, and like you said, like, it's really hard to, especially for men, to really try to figure it out and be like, okay, what is wrong with me? Why am I upset? Let me trace it back. And then so through that conversation, we were able to discover like, oh, he was just upset because he didn't feel productive for the day. See, like the work mind thing, he can't turn it off. But yeah, so for that reason.
He was mad at himself.
He was mad at himself.
Wow.
And he was just like, externally like Casey, affecting everyone else.
Yeah. I did that yesterday.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Same day?
Yeah. Oh, was it yesterday?
Yesterday.
Oh my God. I was so mad because I wanted to work out. It had been 3 days and I had such a good streak of working out, and it had been 3 days of not working out because I was like really tired and fatigued, and I was like, oh no, I don't want this to be something, because if I don't let myself rest, then I won't be able to get over it, or you know, whatever, if this is something I need to, my body needs to rest. And it's very hard for me to rest because I need to be productive. And so I'd given myself 3 days and I was like, okay, I'm going to work out today. But the kittens had all escaped from their little fencing.
Cute.
I have a litter of kittens.
What a great problem to have.
Right? And I was like, these fucking kittens are running under the treadmill.
You can't even say kittens mad. It's so fucking cute.
Fucking kittens. Ruining my life.
Your life is a circus and I love it.
It really is. But they ran under the treadmill and I was like, well, I don't want to bother them. They're under the treadmill. It's now they're home. And so I was like, well, I could do an at-home workout on the computer, but then it was like really hot in my office by that point because the sun comes through that window. I'm like, oh, I just can't work out today. And then I was just so mad that I didn't work out that I was just like huffing and puffing in my bedroom. And then my other cats come over. They're like, what's wrong? And I'm like, leave me alone. I need to be alone. Be alone right now.
Wow, it is really stressful in your head.
Dude, that's what I tell Casey all the time. Literally, the same words.
This morning I was doing my makeup and Steve was like, wow, woman, you are juicy. I'm like, I'm not ready yet. Don't look at me.
The new foster kittens are like, God, this bitch is fucking insane. I cannot. They should have just left me in the fucking shelter.
Please don't adopt me. Please don't adopt me. Please don't.
Just take me back in the shelter. I'm done with this bitch right now.
But I'm going to run away.
I feel like we've communicated so well over the years that he reads my language. Like, when I say X, I'm not serious. I'm not like, fuck you for saying I'm juicy. I'm like, let me be presentable first.
What does juicy mean anyway?
He just...
Like you got a juicy butt?
Yeah. Yeah, because he was looking at me from behind. He likes to take secret pictures of my butt. Like when
I've seen them. I've seen them.
He showed me.
If it's your husband, fine. If it's anyone else, that's fucking weird, bro.
It was consensual secret pictures.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Consensual secret photos.
Consensually secretly taking pictures.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, no nudes is my rule. But, you know, he can take anything but nudes. But yeah, so I was doing my makeup and you know how like I was just flustered because like I wasn't feeling like my fucking hair was doing the right thing.
You're feeling ugly.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do want to say that.
Don't tell me I'm hot when I feel ugly.
Exactly.
I'm like, you're a liar and you fucking hate liars. Like
when say it when I ask.
Fucking like, women are crazy.
But also be spontaneous about it, please.
Yeah. Right? Be spontaneous. Like, I don't want you to have to say just whenever I ask you, because then you're saying because I asked you. But I want you to say it yourself.
Yeah. Otherwise, it doesn't really count.
But not the wrong moments when I feel fat.
Jesus Christ.
So should they be like, do you feel beautiful today?
I don't know. Am I beautiful?
Huh?
Why do you have to ask?
Why do you have to ask?
Oh my God, imagine. Why do I not look beautiful to you? What the fuck is your problem?
Well, now you're saying it because I asked. It doesn't even count.
How do they deal with us?
I don't know. I don't know, but you know, probably by playing a video app or a mobile app game.
You need to sit down and play games and chill.
Because, you know, Best Fiends got your back.
That's a great way to ignore your woman when she's being crazy.
Yeah. Exactly.
Play games.
No, don't ignore her.
Kill some time. Let her calm down.
Because she's overreacting. She wants alone time. She must be on her period.
Exactly. When she wants alone time, bust out your phone and play some Best Fiends, which is a mobile puzzle game. And you guys know this. I love this game so much. I've been playing it for so many years now. And the reason why I love this is because it's a unique and exciting puzzle game, unlike other games, because you end up collecting these little characters that are called fiends, and you use these fiends to crack the puzzle. And once you do, that's when you defeat the slugs. And it's super cute because they have really great graphics. Like, I genuinely am so impressed every time I open up this app. I'm like, how do you guys make this look so pretty? But they do, and they have so many levels. And also, every month they have new themed challenges, so you'll never get bored. So Best Fiends has thousands of levels already, with new levels, events, and characters added every month. It's hours of fun right at your fingertips, and you can even play offline. I love that, because I have other games that I try to get into, and you have to be online in order
Everyone's at home, and everyone's using the same Wi-Fi, so that shit gets bogged down.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's why I absolutely love Best Fiends, the fact that it's offline. So with over 100 million downloads and tons of 5-star reviews, Best Fiends is a must-play. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends.
Also, now that you're home, Now's the best time to take care of your skin. You guys know how crazy I am about my skincare. You know I wear sunscreen at home, even if I'm not going anywhere?
Yeah, you're a little crazy with your skincare.
I think you should because of the screens.
Yep, the screens or the windows that you walk by and stuff. Like, I love skincare, and I'm so happy we have a skincare sponsor.
Me too.
Right? We have Rory. Yay! You already know the difference. I mean, the importance of taking care of your skin, and everybody wants to fix a little bit of something, some dullness, redness, fine lines, or acne. Trying to find the right treatment can be really, really frustrating, but now there's a simpler, smarter solution to get your skin the best it's ever been. Rory is a digital health clinic for women. It's a sister brand of Roman. You guys remember Roman, our other sponsor?
Yeah.
Like Roman, they make it simple to connect with a healthcare professional online and see if personalized prescription skincare treatments.
It's the real shit.
Yeah. Is good for you. I'm on prescription skincare too. That's why I'm all this here.
I know your skin is flawless, Gina.
Thank you. Thank you. And you can do this all from the comfort of your home, which is also amazing. That's my, Rory is my thing. You don't have to wait for appointments or even wait in line at a pharmacy. It gets delivered to you. All you have to do is get on your phone or your computer and complete a free online consultation, and you'll be. And then you'll hear back from a healthcare professional within 24 hours. If it's appropriate, they'll prescribe you a personalized skincare treatment plan that works just for you and your skin, because not everyone is the same. You don't have to go to the pharmacy. You get it delivered right to your door with 2-day shipping. And you can also follow up with your healthcare professional with questions like, does this product I have clash with this? And make sure they have the right things for you. Now, for our viewers, if you go to hellorory.com/bigmood, you can try out the nightly defense for just $5. It's free to chat.
What? $5?
Yeah, $5.
What?
Yeah. It's free to chat with a healthcare professional, and your first order is just $5. That's hellorory.com/bigmood. Eligibility requirements and additional terms apply. Get it now, and also make sure you wear some sunscreen. If you guys want some good skin and you guys refuse to wear sunscreen, I don't know what to tell you. Your skin's gonna suck.
Thanks for the advice.
Look at me and you'll figure out how you're gonna
eat. I wish I had started sooner.
Same. Everyone always says that.
Mm-hmm.
They say that you should start as soon as like 19
years old. Probably like 10.
Right? It's like working out. Like your bones are naturally going to deteriorate as you get older, but you can do the best you can to protect, like slow the deterioration down. They're going to deteriorate no matter what though, so just slow the process down.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm a sunscreen like
fiend, right?
Same. Yeah,
like not just with me, like with Casey and Isaac. I'm like, did you put your sunscreen on? Make sure to put your sunscreen. I literally left it.
You're
in
like
front
the
of,
mom with the sunscreen now.
They'll thank you later. Like, I actually feel uncomfortable during the day if I don't have sunscreen on, like walking through my house.
Like, you're
it's
missing
the first
something.
Thing I do in the morning.
Yeah, I wish my mom was harder on us when I was younger, because everything was just like optional, you know. And my mom got skin cancer. Ooh. And but she's white, and so she was just like, you're brown, you got enough melanin and you.
Well,
like
Bob Marley died of skin cancer.
Oh my gosh.
I'm pretty sure.
Wait, really?
You can fact check me, but I think he had melanoma.
Whoa.
Everyone, like, so that whole like you're brown thing doesn't really stick.
Yeah, and obviously like I got this huge like sunspot that keeps growing every year, and I've gone to the dermatologist.
Yeah, that's not cancer at all.
No, it's not cancer.
It's
but
cute. You have like a little comma.
Yeah,
Steve calls it his kiss target.
That's cute.
God, you guys are
He's
so whack.
Such a
so
sweetie.
What a dick, right?
Loser.
What a high value asshole.
God, yeah,
bitch.
But I think that, you know, him being high value made me more high value. You know, it's like you're constantly we're kind of going back and forth with each other,
yeah.
And that's how the communication goes better.
It's like a cycle upwards instead of a cycle downwards.
Exactly. Yep. Like you're not trying to get back at somebody. It's like, how can I be better for them? Like, oh, he did this for me. He's always thinking about me during the day. How can I think about him during the day? And you just kind of want to reciprocate and you want to grow together. And I think that's the most important thing, and that it, you know, reading some of the articles, I was like, it's not just a gender thing. You know, I think that both gender, you can't just blame men or blame women. A lot of it is just growth and understanding what behaviors you have in yourself that are toxic, and how you can maybe communicate stuff better, you know. And like you were saying about the anxiety attacks, the first time I had a panic attack in front of Steve, he was like yelling at me. He was like, what the fuck? What the fuck? What are you doing? What the fuck? And I was like, stop. I can't. Don't yell at me. Like,
you're making it worse.
Adding to it. Yeah. And I had to try to explain while having a panic attack that I just needed him to hold me and like hug me as tightly as possible.
Right.
But yeah, it was it's that communication, because then the next time I had one, he knew exactly what to do right away. Mm-hmm. And if it was just a person that's like, I don't give a fuck about what you need, like, yeah, this freaks me out and I'm going to yell every time, then you know that that's probably not
a person for you.
Yeah. For sure. Because even the other way around, like, if you were having a panic attack and he was yelling at you and you internalize all of that and you never express the fact that you are having a panic attack and what you need, and then you use the fact that he doesn't know what you need against him.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
That's like, true.
That you're never going to get anywhere at all.
Ever. Yeah.
You're literally going to be stuck in the same spot, and it's going to be a downward spiral.
Both parties have to want to be on the same team. Yeah.
Yeah. One thing that I realized was, you know, you never really know when's the age that you're actually an adult. And you never really know. Like, when you're 25, you think, oh, I'm an adult now. But I think for me, I don't really feel like, oh, I'm actually an adult until I was able to be like, oh, I'm not always the victim, and it's not always like, you know, I'm the person in the right for every argument. It's like, oh, wait a minute, I have all of these bad habits, I do all of this stuff, and additionally I do have, you know, some of these mental health issues like anxiety and generalized depression. So it's like, once I stopped feeling like, oh, this person's just always doing this to me, but then like your partner has to be able to do that too. So it's like, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
And when you're any age, if you haven't gotten to the place where you can say, this is what I do wrong, then you're still not mature enough to really even be in a relationship.
Yeah. Exactly. And I established that in the beginning of my relationships now, where it's like, hey, listen, like, when you're in a relationship, I don't know where you are maturity wise, but you will never, I will never, we will never do petty things against each other. You can go and do petty fucking passive aggressive shit to other people, but you're not going to do that to me, and I'm not going to do that to you, because we're partners, you know. Mm-hmm. Some days I'm going to make you angry and you're going to want to be like, I'm going to do this to get back at her, but don't do that, because I'm not going to do that to you either, and I will make that conscious decision to not do that, because you should be partners. Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't be trying to get back at each other like, oh, well, she got me angry, so I'm gonna do this. And that's really unhealthy. It builds like resentment.
So many people become enemies.
Yeah,
like, their partner's their biggest enemy.
I did want to
actually exactly what it was, because I think for at least in my relationship, that was the main thing, was the fact that we always viewed each other as enemies. Because that thing that I just said was really what was happening, where Casey didn't know how to express his emotions, and I'd be frustrated and I would like try to like force it out of him, but you can't do that either, because I wasn't very nurturing about it either. So that whole situation was not good. It ends up being like two enemies against each other, and then
no one wins the war.
One wins. Mm-mm. Ever. And then not until we went to therapy and like deciding like, hey, we need to make a decision, same team. And then whenever we get into arguments and stuff, we try to tell ourselves like in our head, like even out loud, like same team, remember? Like, we're not against each other. Like, yes, we're upset about this thing, but we don't have to take it out on each other. Mm-hmm. We're still working on it, but at least we're getting like,
yeah, that's better. Huge progress.
So it's like, shit, because man, yeah, and then it's crazy because I didn't realize that that's the position that we ended up being in, the you're my enemy and I need to get back at you position.
Just slowly happens over years. Yeah. And then you're like 7 years into it. Yep. And you're like, this whole time we've just been in a long battle.
Exactly. Yeah, I feel the way that I communicated to Steve the best was, I didn't want that to ever happen in our relationship, and it had happened in previous relationships. So anytime I felt like there was a hint of resentment building, I just voiced it right away. I was like, hey, you're doing this and it's very minor, and I don't want to cause an argument about it or a fight about it, but it makes me feel like this, and I feel myself building resentment for you. And he would be like, oh no, like, I don't want any resentment to happen. Let's talk it out. Let's work through this and figure out what we need to do.
Most people would never say that. Like, they'll just hold on to it, carry it, fucking let it build. No one says that.
You don't want to be petty, or sometimes you kind of minimize your own thing. Yeah. And so you're like, well, I don't want to be that girl that starts an argument, that nags over everything, so I'll just hold it in. And then it builds up over time, and then you wonder why you're not attracted to your partner anymore, or why like you look at them and you just get angry. And so, yeah, I just learned how to like voice that right away, because I loved him so much. I felt like we connected so much. I was like, I don't want to lose this. Yeah. So anytime I feel a hint of that building, I want to give you, it's basically giving them the option to make things better.
Yeah.
And if they don't want to take that opportunity to work with you and be on the same team, if they're going to be like, yo, you're building resentment, well, fuck you, like, good, or whatever, I don't know. Yeah. Like, if they're doing something toxic,
like, just,
back,
you don't like it, too bad.
Too bad, yeah. Then then you know, like, this isn't worth investing more time into.
I did want to touch on something that might be a little bit controversial. I don't know, but like, we were kind of reading. No, I mean, not really, but as far as like financial stability or responsibility, like, how much do you guys think that plays into kind of a quality partner? And I, because I know we touched on saying like, oh, you don't have to like just look for a man or woman that's rich, right? But like, what, how much does that play into someone being ready for a relationship or worthy of a relationship? Or like, how do you guys feel about that?
I say it plays a pretty good part in my relationship, simply because like before, when you're young, you're like, no, love is all that matters. Money doesn't matter. We can live in a cardboard box and be in love and we're happy. And then you grow up and you realize, oh shit, like bills, like, and houses and all this stuff. And like, what if we have kids? How are we going to feed these fucking idiots? You know, like, like, it becomes like this big thing where it's, and it's for me, it's like, I don't need you to be rich, but I need you to be financially responsible. And I don't, like, not one person should carry the whole burden of your finances unless that's your relationship and you like that. Some men, or even some women or whatever, love being the breadwinner, the provider. That's what makes them feel strong. And there are significant others like, you know what, I'm okay with that. I can be the homemaker. But for me, I realized as I grew older, I don't want to deal with, yeah, I can't really afford to do that right now. Or like, because I want to spread my wings and travel the world and stuff. And I don't want to deal with, yeah, I can't do that. Or like, I can't do this or whatever, you know. And that, I would feel like if I couldn't go because my partner couldn't, that would build a little bit of resentment too.
Yeah.
You know, like, where are you? Like, get your life together. Let's do this together. Let's grow. Let's, you know, I have these things that make me happy and I know you want to come with me. So let's do that.
Why don't you just be a sugar mama then?
I could do that, but I can't do that forever. You know, that's not my dynamic that I want. I mean, like,
it's
when,
attractive.
Yeah. Like, when I'm in a relationship, I'm a huge giver, but like, there's also, I'm not going to complete, I can't burn myself out too, you know? So it has to be someone that is also able, it's capable is what it is. I need a capable person.
Yeah, I think responsible is responsible. The word for me, where like, you don't have to be wealthy or rich or anything, but being able to pay your bills on time, being able to not just blow money, like have impulse control, like that kind of stuff. And also having the same goals, like, we both want to go out to a dinner.
Yeah.
We both want to go on a vacation. So we're going to have the same financial goals in mind to be able to have the lifestyle that we want. I've definitely, like, in like most of my relationships, I made more money than my boyfriend. When I met Steve, I mean, Steve and I pretty much trade off years. Like, I'll make more money 1 year. He makes more money the next year.
As a writer, he has like a really like volatile income.
Yeah.
It's like a lot.
He makes all of his money in like lump sums. Mm-hmm. And then the next year, maybe not as much. And then the next year, huge lump sums. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whereas mine's more steady.
On Monster energy drinks. Yeah.
And kidney stones. Bills.
Yeah. Kidney stone bills.
Doctor bills.
And we have to just agree on where our finances are being spent. Yeah. You know, I read that the number one cause of divorce is financial issues.
Yeah, so that's why I'm like, I don't want to just like tap dance around the issue of money, because it's like,
it's definitely important.
Sure, it's actually important. Money has caused issues in pretty much some of my, well, not all of them, because some of them I was too young and it wasn't even, you know, related. But like, even say, like with Joe, like say he had money, we weren't poor, but the money was still causing a problem in some way or another. And it's just like, it's just, and now I'm like, I'm not gonna fucking get into a situation where money's gonna be an issue. Mm-hmm. Whether it's like, you have more than me and you're holding it over me, mm-hmm. or like, I have too much and you feel insecure, or you know. So like, that's something that I'm a little bit nervous about dating. I'm like, well, how am I gonna balance, like, I don't want to date a hedge fund manager who's gonna be a total fucking asshole, right? Yeah. But then also, I don't want to date someone who's broke, so that's tricky.
I had that discussion like pretty, like, once I start feeling like, oh, this can go somewhere serious, we would have that discussion, because I realized how important it is. And it's also, the funny thing is, what came up is how you spend your money, you know, like what are you doing paying $500 for a t-shirt? Like, yeah, we can afford it, but why are you doing that? And then I realized that, like, someone,
future goals are not aligned in
exactly
that case.
So that's when I realized, like, I like someone who spends their money wisely. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes we can splurge a little bit, but still, like, we still look for deals. Yeah, we still look for deals.
Yeah, I mean, you have like the cheapest living situation in LA, mm-hmm. because you have roommates and you pay like nothing, mm-hmm. but you can afford way more than you pay for.
Smart.
Yeah.
Very smart.
Gina's over here stacking cash quietly.
That's a smart way to do it.
Yeah, I guess for me and Casey, we end up working in the financial department, because for him, actually for both of us, we don't necessarily fixate on it. We kind of live, at least for me, I live in a life of like, abundance. I got it. Mm-hmm. There's no worry. It's okay. Not that I'm blind to my finances.
I have to stop myself from that, but I get what you mean.
No, but like, I'm not completely blind to my finances either, where I know where we're at. I know what we can afford. Also, Casey and I are not huge materialistic people. We only buy what we need. And
yeah.
It's like...
Yeah, I feel like you guys could have bought a way bigger house.
Oh, fuck yeah, we could have.
You guys bought a pretty modest house for like YouTubers.
Because we didn't want... We don't need it. We don't fiend it. We don't need to have like... crazy elaborate stuff. I mean, most people would look at me and say, well, you're driving a Tesla, what the fuck, you don't need a Tesla. But it's like, well, it was important for me and like my mental and like stay and like feeling like whatever, I don't have to justify it.
Yeah,
the point
for
is
you,
that we're not very materialistic, and we handle ourselves well in our relationship, because that was actually something that I was getting worried about when we were looking into buying a house, because Casey, he never looks at our finances, and he lives in a life of like, oh, we just can't afford that. We can't, like, we shouldn't. We probably shouldn't spend. That's mainly how he approaches finances.
That's weird, too, because he came from like a gated community in Dallas.
Yeah. So he
and he's like, oh, we can't afford it.
Well, it's not. OK, I guess I said it wrong. It's not necessarily that we can't afford it. For him, it's like, we don't need to spend that much on that. We can just buy something, whatever it is.
The point is, that's how my wealthy friends are too. Like, you stay wealthy by not just spending frivolously. Yeah. They still look for deals and stuff. They're still using coupons,
I mean,
even though they're rich as shit.
But for him to feel like, oh, I don't know, like to be worried kind of like that. I don't normally see people that come from money have a worry kind of feeling.
It's because he didn't he wouldn't actually look at our finances. Oh, okay. And that's why he was
worried. He had no idea.
Because he just didn't even have the full picture. So then I'd be there like, it's okay.
Yeah.
I've seen our finances. Yeah. We're good. We totally couldn't afford this. You're going to love it. It's okay. And we're going to get this house. And we got it. And he's happy. And everything's great. But that's kind of like how we end up approaching our finances, though. It's where he's coming from a state of like, I don't really see the full picture, but I'm just going to pretend that we don't really have it, so we don't really need to spend it. And then for me, it's like, oh, this is going to make our lives easier. Let's go for it, and then we can afford it, and we're not going over. We're not getting, what's the word when you get more than what you need?
Oh yeah,
overspending.
Or I guess
indulgent.
That one, like we're not being indulgent.
Overly indulgent.
Indulgent. Yeah.
Yeah, we operate really similarly too. It was the same thing too, because I run the finances in our relationship, and when we were buying a house, Steve was like, I don't know if we can afford it. And I was like, no, we're okay.
Yeah.
I think it's smart to, because I like the abundance thing too. I mostly operate in that, but only when I have a plan in place. So if I have a plan in place and like, okay, all our bases are covered, my basic needs are being met, then this extra spending money we can put towards investing, which we both thrive off of that. Mm-hmm. And then maybe like we'll splurge here and there, and we both like the same things. We like to spend money on vacations, quality time together, mm-hmm. Experiences, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff, rather than like having a ballin' ass car or like, you know, whatever. Which is like, if Steve was into cars, then that could be his splurge. But we both tend to like the same thing, so it makes it a lot easier.
That's true. So then that's where it, like, back to the whole like finding a high value partner or whatever, it's like adding the value to your life, not something that actually fits.
It's not just adding money to your life, but you know,
we're working together towards a goal. And it feels like we both earned it, like at the end of the day, when we're on the beach somewhere in a vacation spot, we both feel like we contributed to that vacation. Mm-hmm.
That's true. Yeah.
That is not saying, though, that I am opposed to someone who just wants to pay all my bills. I'm just
same.
You know.
No, I'm just kidding.
You're down for that dynamic, not the other way around.
Yeah.
Like you paying other person.
If I was stupid, fucking rich. Well, no, because I like the whole like.
It's just the priority thing.
You're baby though.
I am baby.
So like love comes first, and or like
and then comes marriage, and then comes rich.
Love comes first, money comes second.
Yeah. Oh my god! Look at what Gabby wrote on the fucking. And I'm not gonna say that out loud.
I'm gonna say it out loud. And you know, I feel like a good match for you, Jess, would be someone that's like funny,
super funny, dry humor, you know.
And you know,
I will like to wear
vintage
clothes. If you find them, let me
know. For some reason, the name Kasim G is in my head. Kasim G.
Oh my God.
Does anybody know who Kasim Gia's out there?
Stop. Because
I feel
you're making
like
me blush.
This right here is, hey, Kasim, hey, if you want any of the information, if you want any information, hit me up, bro. Like, I think I got a few nudes in there somewhere.
Oh, my God.
And on that note, thank you for watching or listening, everybody that's listening.
Make yourself a high valued person, because do it for yourself, exactly. Not for
basically
anyone.
Basically,
attract
what you are.
Fuck up.
Yeah, yeah, say that again, Nikki.
You,
yep.
You attract what you are.
Mm-hmm. Say it again.
Louder for the people in the back.
So I used to attract nothing but trash. So I was nothing but trash. But now I am a high valued
there we
woman.
Go. Okay. Yeah.
Make a list of all the things that you like in a person that you want to date. That's a perfect person, and make yourself
be
that person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Be the change you wish to see in the world. I just made that up just
start
now.
With the man.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
That was beautiful.
You know, give us 5 stars. We love you. Bye.
Bye.